In Asia this morning, the news is dominated by that heartbreaking search for nearly 300 people still missing after that ferry accident off South Korea. Meanwhile, another heartbreaking search continues for the Malaysian jet that disappeared with 239 people on board. Sarah Bajek's partner, Philip Wood, was one of them. She spoke to me from her home in Beijing 40 days now after she first heard the bad news.
Well, I realized something was wrong when he didn't come out to meet the driver. So taxis are very difficult in Beijing. So we share a driver with a variety, with several other families. And so he's very, very reliable. And he was there to pick Philip up. And he just didn't come in. He didn't come. And the board just continued to show delayed. But I tried contacting Malaysian Airlines, and their website said that it had taken off on time. But before we knew it, it was, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours delayed. And then I started to get suspicious and did some searching on the internet. And I actually learned that the flight had gone missing through a blog posting of a Skytracker. And at first I thought it was just a bad joke. But then, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, I went and researched on the internet just more generally. And CNN actually had posted formal news release on it being missing. I didn't actually hear from Malaysian Airlines until 3:30 that afternoon.
And in the 6 weeks nearly since the plane went missing, how much have you been told? What kind of contact have you had, either at official or government level, or indeed with the airline, about what was happening and what they were doing to try and find it?
Well, Malaysian Airlines is mostly owned by the country of Malaysia, so they're really one and the same things. I do receive regular contact from Malaysian Airlines. They've assigned a caretaker to me, and she's amazing. I think she's very empathetic, and she's very proactive in talking and working with me, but she can't tell me anything because they're not releasing any information. And so I get all of my news actually from the media. One of the side benefits of having done a fair amount of media interviews is that I've become a bit of an insider with that group here in Beijing. And so I often get the alerts before they even are disclosed out to the public. So that's, you know, reassuring that I get that access to information, but it's certainly not coming from any formal channel.
Your partner who was on the flight, Philip, how long had you been together?
We met in October of 2011, so about 2.5 years ago.
And did he travel often?
Yes. We both travel often by air, both for business and for personal. But this trip was a little different. We're in the middle of relocating from Beijing to Kuala Lumpur. So Philip's new position started in February there. So we had gone together in January and selected an apartment, and I was interviewing for positions as well. And then he was coming back here to meet the movers. So actually we had a moving company that arrived a little bit after 9 o'clock on the morning of March 8th to pack up the boxes, and they had to turn around and leave again because he wasn't here with his passport. And yeah, the move was going to be done through his employer, so he had to be here with his passport for customs control. So, so now life is disrupted on so many fronts. It's not just that the person I love the most in the world is missing, and there's this great chaos around it. It's not just that I know he's been killed, it's that he's missing, and there's this urgency to do something to fix that problem. But then my personal life is kind of in an uproar because we'd made all the plans. I've quit my job here and taken a new job there. And the goal was to kind of build a new life together in KL. And now it looks like I'm going to be going there by myself, at least if we can find him and bring him home.
You say you know he's been killed. When did you get to the moment where you accepted that, where hope died, or has it completely died?
I have not given up hope. There is no more proof that the plane is in the ocean than any of the other theories. In fact, there's almost less because there is not a shred of wreckage. And all of the experts that I've seen interviewed have said it's an impossibility that a plane, it was fully loaded. I mean, it was a fully loaded plane. with both cargo and people and luggage, that nothing would have surfaced. And there's, I mean, they've combed the islands, the fishermen check their nets, you know, all the coastline areas, not a single piece of evidence related to the plane. So, you know, that kind of makes me question why they're so intently focused on digging in the ocean there, because there's no evidence that the plane is under the ocean there.
Are you happy that everything that can be done, that should be done to try and find the plane, is being done?
Absolutely not. First of all, there's no evidence that they've explored alternative paths. There's a number of very qualified mathematicians and astrophysicists who have double-checked the IMARSAT data that had come from the engine pings. And their belief is that it's more dominant of a theory that the plane would have taken a northerly route, not a southerly route. So they actually disagree with the analysis conducted. Now, this is an independent party of people who have come together. So, but there's been no evidence of any kind of searching on the northerly route, right? They all just jumped into this idea of the plane being in the ocean there to the side of Australia. But there's no evidence to support that. So I think that the search is in the wrong place, or it could very well be in the wrong place.
I know you're in contact with other relatives and partners and friends of those who took that flight. And I assume, despite all the bad news or non-news that comes in, that people still, under it all, hold on, as you do, to some glimmer of hope. That this might not end the way we all fear.
Yet the dominant theory amongst the families is that the plane was taken for a purpose and it will be found in time. We just don't know where. And right now, the big question is, you know, are our governments, or one or more of our governments, actively involved in that or not? So, you know, we've bound together and we're going to continue to put pressure on this investigation, perhaps even to the point of asking that it be taken away from Malaysian power, right? An independent group of experts, perhaps from more than one country, who would lead this initiative, because it's really not just a Malaysian problem. I mean, this is a global problem. There are 8 million people every day that get on an airplane. And every single airplane is a weapon, a potential weapon. So if this happened once, it could certainly happen again. I mean, Malaysia is actually a much more organized country than most countries in this world. So if this could happen there, you know, we should all be very afraid and should be putting a lot of resources into solving this problem.
And that's Sarah Bejek, who still doesn't know what happened to her partner. And she asked me to pass on details of the Facebook page, which is called Finding Philip Wood.